Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman by heading over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Halbkasten mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hi.
Welcome to another episode of Hypecast!
Hypecast!
Hype. A show where Hypecast. We get hyped about stuff and things. I'm your co-host, Hypecast. Tom Reimann.
I'm your other co-host, David Bell. Who do we... I know there's someone else here.
Who do we have via the internet?
Do you want me to say my name?
Now you go.
Hey, this is Abe Epperson.
Hi, Abe.
Hey.
Welcome. Thank you for being on.
Long time caller, first time fan.
I'm just gonna say it. We're all in different places right now.
Yeah.
That shouldn't affect anything. Just might as well throw it out there.
I have wool socks on right now.
I have
my
no
toes
pants.
Are like taking a fabric bath.
Nice.
I'm just comfy.
Splashing around in that wool.
I got no pants, and I'm doing great.
I installed a heating panel today.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because I was a little chilly.
I should light my pilot light, because I know I have heating in this apartment somehow,
but I haven't fucked
with it. It's
too
hard.
You should get on that.
It's too hard.
Bush League shit.
I don't know.
Be better, Dave.
I'm fine with it. I have that dad energy when I'm like, just like, wear a sweater.
Be best, Dave. Be best.
No. I'm not going to be best.
I don't want to.
So we have producers now.
We do.
Oh.
For Hypecast. And I just want to take a second to recognize them because we have a new one. This is a new Patreon producer, Miss Voidus.
Miss Voidus. Voidus.
Voidus?
No, it's Voidus.
Voidus. It's like coitus.
Yeah.
It's just like coitus.
Just like, but like a void.
Yeah. It's like the lack of coitus.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I assume that means.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much, Miss Voidus, for becoming a producer. More shout outs real quick to our other producers. The ghost of Dave Thomas. That's pretty self-explanatory.
He put in a lot of work cooking up those double and triple stacks for us all those years at Wendy's.
It's true. Aaron Burser, who gave us the Tremors podcast before. The Briscoe County podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a legend. He's a legend.
He is.
David Knife Boot.
Knife
Henson,
boot. Man, we gotta start stocking the T Public store with knife beats.
Knife boots, absolutely. You can't have enough knife boots, right?
No. There's no such thing as too many knife beat.
No, it's true. You should have a knife. You should have like I want to stamp
out
my boot,
in every
and I want
boot.
Six. I want six knives to stick out of my boot.
Just
is
in
what
a
I
circle,
want.
like rays of sunshine from a,
uh-huh.
from a smiling cartoon sun.
Yeah,
I wonder if he ever said to someone, "Looks like you brought a knife boot to a gun boot fight."
Ooh. Oh, see, you've just blown this whole thing wide open. Gun boots.
Yeah. Gun boot.
Now
shit.
We're talking.
Christopher Robert Sparts Esquire, our lawyer. Thank you for producing. We will hit you up in the future.
Yeah, when we inevitably get arrested.
Uh-huh. Mackenzie, righteous hand of the lizard people. Chill. Thank you. You are our lizard god, I guess.
Speaking of his hand,
you're part of the Illuminati.
Yeah, Funky Jesus, and Pie Guy. Thank you so much for being our producers.
All of you guys, we cherish you. We delight in your perceived presence by reading your names off of a list. Truly.
Right. Well, here's the thing, not to stretch this out too much, but you know what I did today,
guys? What'd you do today?
I mailed letters to all of these people.
Yeah, you did?
Yeah. I mailed them. This tier, you get like a mug and shit, but I figured like every couple months, why not mail them something? So I mailed them a little letter from us and a sticker and like a little thank you. And I put a little prize in every single one.
Yeah.
Every single one got a prize. Yeah.
That prize is Dave's DNA in some form.
Oh, it's in one specific form. Tom.
He came on those letters, guys.
Of course.
Yeah.
He came on the letters.
That's understood.
Yeah.
It's expected.
You open it, it's cum.
Yeah. It's going to be like a glitter bomb, but it's
you
a cum
it,
bomb.
It's just cum. Honey, we got cum.
Oh, man.
Just shake it out on the table, all excited. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Look at all this cum. Oh, there's
it's
so much
too
of
much.
It. Oh,
it's
how
too much.
How generous
much.
Are we?
Oh, that's what you get when you become a producer of Hypecast.
Just envelopes stuffed with cum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a real problem. It's going to be a real problem for you.
And what's going to be weird is I want to do this now. I want to do this now on Small Beans, my podcast empire.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I want to send letters. So we're going to start doing that. You're also going to get a bunch of Dave's cum.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm just churning it out, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like a Play-Doh factory over here.
Yeah. You're like an oil derrick.
Yeah.
Like a soft serve machine.
This is gross. This is real gross, you guys.
There.
Real quick, Abe, you totally should do the letter thing. I actually really enjoy it because it's like you put on a movie and you do stuff with your hands. You know, you make the cum. No,
what?
You stuff the letters and you do all the you put the stamps on and stuff.
You gotta churn out that cum.
It's fun. It's like it's like having a zine.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's really cool. It's like it has
I
that
never
cool zine feeling doing mailing list stuff.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I understand the concept of sending personalized letters. Uh-huh.
Abe's like, I know what mail is.
It's so exciting though. We got a PO box and everything. I know the mail guy and he's like, hi Dave. He doesn't know my name, but I imagine it and I check the PO box and everything. It's great.
Yeah.
It's like an adult.
Sounds
I'm like an adult.
Like a wonderful fantasy that you live in.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm so happy for you.
You guys want to talk about trailers?
I would love to talk
Please.
About trailers. Yeah, let's get to these trailers.
First trailer is for Morbius.
Yeah.
Jared Leto's Morbius.
Morbius the living vampire.
What do you guys think of this? So he's like Batman Vampire Man.
He's like literal Batman.
Right. He's a, like he's an actual
he's got kind bats of and shit.
Vampire guy. He's a Spider-Man villain.
Okay.
Okay. We're throwing a lot of things in his.
Throwing a lot
but
of things
But he's like a
you.
Monster. He's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, it seems like. But not without like the like implicit switch of like, now I'm this. He just seems to be like a dark hero, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been in both villainous and in kind of supporting hero roles throughout comics. So,
and what's his dynamic? Like, does he want to do good, but there's like something talking in his head that says like kill all the people?
Yeah, he's a vampire. So, but he's like
right.
So he like wants to not be a monster, but like he has to eat drink blood. And
so
sometimes
the dude's sucking blood. We know. So
yeah. So it takes
how
over.
Long are they going to keep up? Is it always going to be like a racist like dog beater, and then everyone in the audience will be like, yeah, fuck that guy. And then he can suck his blood. But
I don't
like
know.
Is he gonna like be eating a baby or
this
something
is,
like
well,
that?
Oh
this
no,
is
he's not gonna be doing anything like that.
Okay. This is the issue, right? Is there it's like they're setting up the Sinister Six shit. They're like setting up all the Spider-Man villains, but since they get their own movie, we have to kind of like them enough to watch a movie. Like Venom was the same way.
Right.
Where it's like anti-hero. And so if it comes down for Spider-Man to fight these guys, like I'm gonna be like, I don't want Like, what side am I on here? I also don't... I don't think it'll come to that, though, as I don't imagine these movies reaching the point where Spider-Man finally gets involved, because there's like that weird Sony Spider-Man thing, and it just doesn't feel like they're rolling these out so slowly and stuff. It's like, it doesn't feel like it's leading to anything.
Well, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, it just seems like by the time it's got that real like DC Justice League feel where it's like they're like rolling out a little too slowly. And I don't know if these are going to like Venom didn't do great.
Venom did Dark incredibly Universe well.
With oh, DC. Did it?
Venom was one of the biggest movies of that year.
Oh, okay. And I guess here's my other worry, I guess, is Venom. It had a very charismatic lead.
Mm-hmm.
And Venom was fun. Morbius just looks really serious.
It's a tougher sell, to be sure. And yeah. He's a way more obscure character. Like, Venom is a hugely popular character. Morbius is pretty obscure.
Right. And artistically speaking, I think this is the problem that Venom had, too, is both of these look churned out. Like, the trailer has, like, that shot of the city and that, like, slow cover thing. And like the dark look that doesn't like there's nothing that particularly unique looking about these movies.
Yeah, typical like Hans Zimmer-esque score.
Yeah,
it looks very underworld.
Yeah, I'm getting strong vibes, like Dark Universe vibes, where it's gonna be a start and then it's just not gonna really happen.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see
what happens.
I think we're all kind of beating around the bush of, like, I don't understand. I had this opinion when the Dark Universe stuff came out. There's no way these will ever work as, like, a hot commodity like Iron Man, where there's, like, a franchise built. I mean, that's an obvious example of one of the most successful movies of all time, just mm-hmm. given the fact that it birthed an entire cinematic universe. But, like, what's the fundamental difference? Jared Leto especially, but like in darker villains in general are not that charming. There are charming villains. There are people who are like wonderful to hate and also just like, you know, they do have that charming charisma that you kind of love.
Mm-hmm.
But like Al Swearengen is one that I think of all the time. It's like, yeah. I kind of enjoy watching him even though he's a piece of shit.
Right.
Or like a Sopranos or something like that. But they're not charming in, because like the second like you brought it up, the it'll always be muted by like a fundamental moral question that you put in front of them that they have to side with, like not quite. They have to play in character. Therefore, you're not going to like it. And therefore, you can't build like a franchise off of it. So I just don't understand why they make these movies other than like one-offs that are just like, here's a cool little story about a bad guy.
You know? I think they are trying to build basically the anti-Avengers where they give them all a movie and then they, I assume, have to like team up and, but then they would fight Spider-Man, right?
They would, yeah. Or they would get it, they would get recruited by somebody like, you know, they're going to have to bring in, if they want to do Sinister Six, which I'm actually stoked on, I want to see a Sinister Six movie.
Me too?
But they would have to bring in a Doc Ock or a Goblin, ideally both of them.
Yeah.
And those two guys would just be pure bad, and they would recruit the others. Like, we see Michael Keaton in the end of this trailer.
Yeah, is he replaying the Vulture?
I assume so.
Right.
Yeah,
because
he's straight up
villain.
Pretty much. He had a bit of a... Because he doesn't give up Peter Parker's identity in prison.
Or does he, thanks to Spider-Man Far From Home? Oh, no, never mind.
That was
never
Mysterio.
Mind. That was Mysterio did that. Yeah. Oh, Mysterio was a real dickhead in that one.
Yeah. So it would be the two, it would be like, I could see like Venom getting tricked into it, the way he's presented in the movie. And like Morbius maybe, because he's like, when the sort of bestial side of him takes over, he's just a monster.
Right. Yeah, Venom's tough because they made him out to be pretty fucking good at the end.
Yeah. They would have to trick him somehow.
Yeah. I agree that a Sinister Six movie is a lot of fun. I think that's what they should have been using the Spider-Mans for.
Right. That's what I was expecting the post-credit scene of Far From Home to be.
Yeah. They should have been building it the way the Avengers movie built Thanos slowly. They should have just had each, like the Sinister Six, show up throughout the Spider-Mans. And then he, you know, at the, like his, basically well, they, his Avengers is him taking them on all at once.
Yeah.
What do we think about Jared Leto as this role?
I mean, you know, he's a good actor. He kind of looks like a vampire already, so it's like, all right.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the trailer's fault, his fault, the movie's fault, but as it stands now, he just seems way less interesting, like, as a lead in this trailer than, say, Venom.
I hope he contracted a blood disease for this movie.
Right, to, like, prepare.
He method. Yeah.
An artist prepares.
Yeah.
He actually sucked on a man's blood.
he injected himself with like sickle cell anemia and slept in a coffin for 6 months.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. He probably did. He at least drank blood.
I'm sure he drank blood.
I was about to say, he probably drank blood. He's probably just drinking blood before
and
this
he
moment.
He sent all of his coworkers letters of Dave's cum.
Yeah, yeah.
Letters of his cum. He must calm down for certain movies, right?
He has to. He's gotta. I mean, it's a meme now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
That's all it is. I'm sure he's a wonderful person who never wished to become a meme. It's just funny. It's just funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll see this because we're going to see it for the podcast. I think if in a normal world where I wasn't watching all the movies, I would probably wait for streaming on this one, and
I'd have to see it just because I'm such a huge Spider-Man fan.
Yeah, that's fair.
Someone would have to buy my ticket for me to watch this. I would not. Yeah. I would not go to this.
Right.
Yeah,
If I was like trying to get away from the cops or something, I would go see it too.
Oh yeah, that's a good. I should. Just
yeah. You know, if I had just shot President Kennedy and I was trying to hide out, like I would definitely this movie for sure.
Or if I was framed by the cigarette smoking man having shot Kennedy.
Right. He would tell me to meet him in this theater. Yeah,
exactly. Yes. Any final thoughts on Morbius?
Nope.
No.
Let's talk about Black Widow. This trailer.
Ooh.
We covered the last trailer. There's like a new thing in this trailer of the last one, which is what's his face?
Taskmaster.
Taskmaster.
We get to see him a little bit clearer. Yeah.
Really? Taskmaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's his name.
That is his
name. He does a lot of tasks.
He does a lot of tasks.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's the owner of what is it? TaskRabbit.
Yeah.
He delivers stuff.
Jesus. I fucking hate comic book movies.
Is David Harbour gonna die in this?
Possibly.
I feel like yes.
Kind of get those vibes. Yeah, he's all he is charm,
and he's like Papa. He's like Papa Widow.
He's the only one that Black Widow always has like her past is always darkness, right? And you can see in her sister that she's got a little darkness too. The mom seems to have that too. Like everyone's got darkness, so he's kind of like the heart of everything. With because like. At least in the trailer.
He's the heart of darkness.
He's the wall-to-wall, like comic relief, right?
Yeah. Mm.
Yes.
And so that would elevate the stakes a lot.
Right, and this is also a prequel, so, like, none of these fuckers are safe. Because Black Widow, you know.
Well, it's sort of a pre... It's, like, after Civil War.
Oh, okay.
It's in between Civil War and Infinity War.
Right. I said it on the last time we covered this. I'm still super excited about this. And I get why some people might not be because it's sort of like, who gives a shit about this timeline?
Right.
I don't know why.
It's a big ask, but I'm sure the movie is going to be fun.
Spy shit never did it for me, so I was like, yeah, I was going to wait for the streaming. And then I saw a wild Rachel Weisz appear.
Yes.
And then, oh shit, that changed everything. I'm there on the opening day, motherfuckers.
Oh, yeah, Rachel Weisz.
I'm a big Weisz head, if you know me. When's this come out?
You're May. A real Weissenheimer.
A real Weissenheimer.
That's what they call themselves, the Weisz fans.
No. No, we don't.
Weissenheimers.
Weissmullers.
Mm. Yeah. She is my favorite. She's a goddess. And
yeah.
And sure. Yeah, I'll go watch this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess what does it for me is the specific action that Black Widow has, like her way of fighting and shit. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy because it reminds me of like Daredevil and shit, because it's not, I'm going to blast you with lightning across a room, which is fun. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
It's a time and a place for that.
Yeah. It's actual like fighting. It's stunt work. Yeah. And I just find that super entertaining to watch, you know,
even
some
more
John
than that,
Wick
it's not,
shit.
It's not just like martial arts. It's like twisty and like, it's like body parkour, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. It's
like,
wire
it's like
work.
Doing like flips around the body and shit. And like,
it's ridiculous shit.
Yeah.
And so I'm down with that.
Yeah. Some great stunt coordinators and stunt people.
Yeah. Hopefully Rachel Weisz will get to like flip through the air too. Mm-hmm. Does she in one point in this trailer say something about how like there has been several widows or so? She talks about widows as yes. like in the plural. So yeah. That's okay. So there's like a Red Widow and a white. They're like Power Rangers.
I don't know.
Oh, okay. So is this not a comic book thing, or do you just not know?
I'm not that up on the character.
Oh.
So if it is, nice. If it is a comic book thing, I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Nice to have a big like mech that they form. Like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, obviously, if they were just Voltron, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
That is interesting, though, right? That if they were Voltron, holy shit. But, like, if you knew someone that called themselves, you know, the Black Ranger, and you didn't know anything about them, and then you learned there was, like, six others with different colors the whole time, you're like, where the fuck have these people been? Mm-hmm. You could have helped us. We were fighting robots and stuff. You had all these other widows you could call. Come
on, the world
now.
Tried to end like 9 times.
Right. Yeah.
Where the hell have you been?
Yeah. Where's all these other fucking widows? Yeah.
I don't know, taking care of some Russian
yeah.
shit. I don't know.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Next trailer. Mm. Guns Akimbo. We
Guns
talked about
Akimbo!
This last week.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. As a movie that deserves more hype, I am so pumped for this movie.
It's man.
It looks
Daniel Craig
completely
with
amazing.
Guns bolted to his Radcliffe. Fucking, what did I call him? Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
Same thing. Exactly the same thing. Yeah, with guns bolted to his fucking hands.
To his hands.
I fucking love this cultural fascination that we have with taking Harry Potter and just doing weird shit to him, and that's like a movie.
I don't think like, that's a cultural fascination. I think that's his deliberate choice in his post-Harry Potter career. He's like, I'm just going to do weird shit.
I know, because it seems like the closest thing to a narrative that Daniel Radcliffe's career post-Potter has been is like someone at a pitch meeting in Hollywood sat down and was like, okay, give me your next Daniel Radcliffe shit.
Right.
And then it's like one guy's like, okay, I got one, we give him horns. Another one's
like,
great,
yeah,
all right. Okay. He's a fart corpse. Keep it coming.
Perfect.
Throw Daniel Radcliffe in the jungle alone and scared. Okay, what's it now? All right, fuck it. He has gun hands. It's just like,
right.
It is amazing what we do to this guy.
You
and
forget that we made him Igor as well?
Yeah, in the Victor Frankenstein one,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And probably the most grotesque thing we've done is put him in Now You See Me Too.
Oh,
as far
yeah,
as
that
I'm
was the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what he was thinking with that one.
He was probably thinking about $5 million.
Yeah, that's true.
Smart man. Yeah. Smart man.
It's weird because the first thing he did after the Harry Potters was The Woman in Black, which I really enjoyed.
He was in the play, too.
Equus, yeah.
And it was
I saw
like,
him in the play.
Nice.
With Meryl Streep as the woman.
That's Damn. Fucked up. And so, like, it was like, whoa, this is cool. Daniel Radcliffe, like, doing movies. And I can't wait to see what else he's going to do. And then he just went all over the fucking place. And it's not mm-hmm. bad. But,
yeah. I think he's just got weird tastes. And I think it's someone told him early on, and it probably, like, got clear to him, like, probably a PR or an agent, was like, all right, so you're, like, you're Harry Potter. That's it.
Right.
Like, that's what everyone's going to think of you now. And he's like, how do I fuck with that? He's like, just disrupt everything except weird fucking movies. Be like an indie darling or be something else.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I'm just going to take big swings on very inventive films. And I am also, I'm very rich because I made 8 Harry Potters.
Right.
And I'm That's not even 20 and I'm very rich.
He's essentially retired.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
These are all just him being like, yeah, I don't give a fuck. I'll take whatever script interests me.
Yeah. Give me another, keep me relevant enough to get me casting all of my life.
Yeah.
And when I'm tired of it, I won't. And if I can still, when I'm like 50, awesome. Right. It's a great life.
Also, Samara Weaving looks great in this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I can't remember his name now. He's the swear wolf from What We Do in the Shadows. He plays a little hobo. It's like, oh, don't do that. You're just going to blow your face off.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know the name.
I think his name is Reese.
I've seen
something.
Him in several things. He's,
yeah, yeah.
He's very funny. Reese Darby.
Reese Darby, that's right.
Reese Darby. Great name.
Yeah.
I think that the writing of those scenes in the trailer are pretty bleh.
Oh,
like,
shit.
It's pretty lowest common denominator. But
you know who Reese Darby played?
The weremonster.
Yeah, in the fucking X-Files. I didn't realize that. That's fucking terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him.
You guys are weird.
That's great.
No, that's great.
Don't know if you heard, Abe, we do a show about the X-Files.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. This is I don't know. This doesn't need to be. It's the director of Deathgasm.
Right.
So this is going to be just like a bunch of fun, probably pretty grotesque.
Oh, I fucking love it.
Yeah.
Gun hands. Yeah. Daniel Radcliffe has gun hands.
He has
that was
gun
said
hands.
In a meeting and everyone was like, "Good idea. Let's go."
Green lit.
Yep.
It's fucking great.
Yeah.
What a stupid world we live in.
I know, and we have so much fun with it.
Ah, oh, it's great.
Yeah.
More.
We're using every part of the Daniel Radcliffe.
we really are. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next trailer is Lock, spelled with an E, mm-hmm. and Key.
Lock and Key.
Is this based off a book?
It's based off a series of graphic novels by Joe Hill.
Okay. This looks exciting.
Yeah, it's a cool idea. I've only just started reading them.
Okay.
But
so what's the, for people who haven't seen it, what's the, like, give me the 2-sentence synopsis. It's a house and there's key quests.
You got it.
What it is it's nice. This these 3 kids are moving into their family home after their dad is killed, and the house is magic. It's full of these keys that when you find the keys and use them to open specific doors in the house, they grant you powers. But there's also some kind of presence in the house that they're not sure about.
I'm getting Harry Potter vibes off of this in the aesthetic, mm-hmm. but also in the fact that me, a grown adult, is probably going to watch this and like give a shit and like become emotionally engaged in the characters.
Yeah. Oh, it's not for children.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, okay. Because I was getting real like Spiderwick Chronicles.
I was just about to say,
a Stranger Thingy, like in between, where it's like it's sort of for kids, but not.
Yeah, it's not. It's pretty dark in spots. That, like I said, I've only started reading it, but it's like it would be kind of a hard PG-13.
Okay.
You know,
they might have brought it down a little for the Netflix.
They could have toned it down too. That's true.
Obviously, there's differences, but this is just Kingdom Hearts, right?
Sure. I suppose so.
It's like finding keys and opening doors to get to like a mystery, answer a mystery with keys and doors and stuff.
I mean, isn't life
with
just
levels?
You know, finding keys and opening doors?
See,
to
I
like
think
your
it would...
car and your PO box that you just got.
Mm-hmm.
Your
I think
fancy
this
new
film
PO
would be
box.
Better if it was. About Daniel Radcliffe and his penis is a key, and I don't know what the plot is, but he has to like fuck or something.
So he's got he's got like a key bolted to his dick.
Yeah. And it's just it's called like Dick and Key.
Yeah, Dick and Key. Every time he has to open a door, he has to do like he has to flip his body all the way around,
mm-hmm.
like
right.
handstand,
spin it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or have someone spin him.
Right.
Yeah, and we get like I don't know the director of Trainspotting or something.
Yeah, sure.
The director of Train Spotting. You mean Danny Boyle?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
That's the one.
You know, we get the director of Jaws to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just want to say this while we're in the middle of these trailers. I thought this week of trailers was going to be pretty lame, but I'm kind of into like everything on this list.
Pretty sweet crop of trailers this week.
Yeah.
I mean, the year's getting started. Like, they're giving us adventure movies. We always knew that 2020 was going to be adventure heavy because that's what does well now.
Right. They just saw what, you know, America and the world has in store. And they're like, these people are going to want to escape reality.
And there's a lot of dark mysteries too. I'm still waiting for that Mortal Bones City Instruments or whatever.
That's what it's called.
Sequel. Yeah, that's
sure.
It.
Sure. Mortal
the
Bones
the
City
mortal
Instruments.
Engines. No, the Mortal, yeah. the bones, the bones
mortal
of
bones.
The instruments. The City of the Instruments.
A mortal,
the,
mortal Kombat.
There's
the City
there's
of
Mortal
bones.
Bones.
Well, Mortal Kombat is also coming out this year, I believe.
I know.
City of Bones. It's City of Bones.
City of Bones.
Mortal Instruments. City of Bones.
That's correct.
All right. Next trailer?
Yeah,
next
sure.
Trailer? Mythic Quest.
Mm.
This is Silicon Valley of gaming design.
Yeah,
right.
Starring Rob McElhenney.
Yes. Yeah. He makes a video game and he's like the Steve Jobs.
Yeah,
games or something.
Mm-hmm. I'm not,
or he's small. He's smaller stakes than that. He's not like good. He's just like an auteur, and he had a success because it seems like he's in charge and there's people that work there.
He's in charge of developing this MMO, and he's playing kind of the same character he plays in It's Always Sunny. Like he's like a smarter version of that character, where he's still playing like a fool, but like he's more intelligent.
And I saw that Charlie Day was also on the executive, like he's an EP. So it's going to have, regardless of the trailer, my expectation is it's going to have strong It's Always Sunny vibes. They just have been looking forward to doing a narrative.
Right.
I know that Rob McElhenney is kind of the creative force amongst that crew, being the main writer and stuff like that and pitching the most and being the showrunner. From what I've heard, he's kind of one of the main minds behind It's Always Sunny. I bet after, 9 million seasons of It's Always Sunny, he's like, all right,
14.
TV's changed. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I bet that he's just like, give me a fucking story to do.
Yeah.
I am disappointed about the trailer, though, because...
Well,
I don't mind the idea of it, but I am so tired of workplace comedies.
Well, I was about to say, I have this question. Is the way The Office kind of made a bunch of copycats, like Parks and Rec, and that doesn't mean those are bad, but the way that happened...
30
is
Rock
this,
still great, yeah.
Yeah, is this sort of the version of Silicon Valley where it's like, this is that sort of style? And I'm kind of having trouble like nailing down what that specific style is, but it just gives me the same vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Silicon Valley is still derivative of The Office.
That's true. It is all. It is like
it
you
is,
said.
But
it's all
it is
kind of workplace comedies.
So it's close. I mean, it's an updated like sitcom that's now serialized.
Right.
So
right.
We have a few of those Silicon Valleys. You know, one of them.
And it's like the Clueless bosses, and I don't know.
What was it? The shit? I'm forgetting the name. Showrunner of the Ellie Kemper is in it. It just got canceled. It's on Netflix.
This
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah.
It's like that's the same kind of idea. It's like, oh, this is kind of actually just a sitcom episode. Oh no, it's got a little plot development. It's Always Sunny is just like it opens up and you're in a black void and the rules are like Simpsons rules. It's like it only exists for its episode. It's done. It's never talked about ever again.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's a few jokes in this that I was like real, like there's the women's studies joke, and that's boring to me, but it is fucking F.
It's F Murray Abraham.
Murray Abraham.
Yes.
And just let that sink in for a minute. But there's another line where like there's clearly like the love interest it's Rob McElhenney and I forget the woman who I have never seen this actor, but she's
pretty new. I think she's in one other one of their shows.
And she says something along the lines of, like, it's like you're this brilliant painter and I'm your favorite brush. That I was just like, oof, that's seeped in.
Right.
I don't like any of this gender shit that's going on here.
Well, yeah,
so
it sounded like
I don't
the
know
idea
where the
she's like...
Yeah.
It that felt like she was pandering to him. Like, the idea is he is...
That,
like,
yeah.
It is supposed to be that. I don't know. I got the same sort of vibes, though.
It's a trailer, but it does seem that that's, like, the space that they're going to make the jokes
in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of confident I'll never watch this. Only because it's on whatever the Apple streaming thing is.
Yeah, Apple TV.
Does
Plus. Apple
so
TV
weird.
Plus.
Okay.
The only other property that I know of that is Apple is that show C, where like everyone and Jason Momoa don't have eyes, but oh, look, there's like some babies and they have eyes, and wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah,
like,
also
this
the
is
M.
Their
Night
number
Shyamalan.
Two. This is like the sophomore album, as far as I'm concerned.
There's the M. Night Shyamalan show. Mm-hmm. The reason I say, like, maybe you guys can answer this for me. Someone, I saw like online, someone was already talking about the Shyamalan show like it existed.
It does.
Like it's out?
It is.
How do you watch it?
You watch it on Apple TV Plus. You have to subscribe to it.
Is it on PlayStation? Can you go on PlayStation and say
I don't think so.
This
Give
is
the
problem.
That's
is,
how you search it. Give me the Shyamalan. In
this
Google.
Feels like what's this feels like one of those crazy like Quigley or something, one of those weird streaming services where it's like I hear the word and I don't know where to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Do I have to open iTunes? Like,
you have
do
to,
I need to get an Apple TV?
Or, like,
no,
you have
to
be able to, like...
CISO and Crackle on one monitor, and then go to iTunes and double-click, and then you get there. It's... I hate that... I understand why we're doing this as a society. Like, there's going to be channels now, you know?
Yeah.
But it is very frustrating that I can't remember... Because, like, channels are permanent. There's like, even though you're like, you understand the vibe of channels. If someone like during the cable boom in the 80s, it was like in the 70s and 80s, it was like, okay, I'm starting to get a vibe of I've seen like what's on Bravo or TNT or, you know, like stuff that wasn't network. But I knew what kind of shit I was going to get. And then as soon as like AMC started rebranding itself as like, oh, actually, we're like secret HBO. Like, everyone is now creating a new name and a new plus, and they haven't found their identity because the identity now is Netflix, which its whole model was created off of come here for everything. There's nothing that is like, oh, that's so Netflix. So it's very confusing because, like, our previous version of channels, at least there was characteristics that we could describe about the type of products that would come out of that thing.
Right.
Now we don't, and we just have to remember this insanely long list of bullshit names in order to just navigate and get content or shows that we might like. It's stupid.
It is dumb. There's I'm looking, man. I like that streaming has Yeah, I like that streaming has made it so TV formulas can be, you know, different. But like, I just feel like I'm missing out. I'm on the AppleTV.com because I wanted to figure it out. And I guess like if you have Roku or smart TV, I guess you can get it. But man, every show on their website, they're using these graphics that everything's like gray and boring looking and uniform
because it's Apple. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like you're not selling these shows. Mm-hmm. And that I have to like read the text and I realize like, oh, Dickinson. Yeah, I did want to see that. But it's just this gray picture of a woman.
Yeah.
And it's just like I don't remember. Or like
Show
Servant
the thing.
Where
yeah.
it's just a baby. Like this is a bummer. Mm-hmm. Apple shouldn't make shows.
Yeah. They should stick to making electronics.
Right, that you can watch shows on.
Yeah.
It's
weird. Everybody wants to develop original content now.
Yeah.
The title is baffling to me for two reasons. One, it's a subtitle. It's Mythic Quest : Raven's Banquet.
Yeah, this is also I think they
What's up with that?
Fucked up. I think they fucked up their title because
it's
Mythic
a bad
Quest
title, yeah.
Yeah.
So is that, because As soon as I saw that, it immediately made me think that, like, is this like an anthology series? Like True Detective? Like, we're going to get a bunch of, like, have a celebrity come in and make a video game?
Right.
Like we're going to have, like, the Vince Vaughn video game or the, like, Dallas Bryce Howard video game or something, like, in season 2 and 3? Like, I don't understand what the, like, why did that make that pitch? I think I understand that they understood that Mythic Quest is, like, a boring-ass title. I mean, it's like
you're right, but
titling
Raven,
your
Raven's
web
Banquet
series
equally tells us nothing.
Yeah, they tried to be zany with the name, and it. I don't.
Just call it Raven's Banquet. I don't know, or think of a better name.
Yeah, call it something that's related to the fucking it's a workplace comedy.
You're confusing the shit out of me with your subtitles.
Yeah,
Apple.
Yeah, I don't. I hate calling a shot here, but I don't think we're going to hear much about Apple TV soon in like a couple years.
I mean, I don't know. They're spending so much money on content.
They're huge. I mean, have you seen an episode of that? None of us have eyes, but our babies have eyes show with Jason Momoa.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That shit is unreal production. It's like Game of Thrones production value.
Yes, but I don't know if people are going to see it. Are the youth on Apple TV? Apple is so expensive now, and it's become such a shitty company. Like, I used to love Apple, so I don't know. None of the youth is going to be buying Apple products unless they're like really rich. You don't buy an Apple TV. You have to go to apple.com to like get the Apple TV shows and you could watch it on your laptop. Like, who's gonna fucking do that? I haven't seen any advertisements for this. Like, they're spending a lot of money on it, but like, I just don't see Apple as something that's going to attract like enough people or like a big enough audience.
I mean, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
I agree.
Yeah. Like, I have
it
I
takes one
like
show.
I said I only just learned these shows were out. Like, nobody's talking about it. Like, on Twitter, there's no talk about these shows.
No one cared about AMC until Mad Men. It takes one show, and then they're all of a sudden a main player.
That's all it takes.
Yeah. I don't know who's head of programming and decision-making at Apple. Who are these people that determine what shows are greenlit and are not and what makes them tick? If I had an answer to that, I'd have a TV show. But obviously, if they do their job well, it will be a name. I don't think this is it. I don't think Jason Momoa Eyes is it. They got to do better. But it's a tough, it's hard. That's a big call.
Yeah. That's who it is. Quibi has a new show, a stop motion series from Justin Roiland.
Sure.
And it's like, that should be a big deal. I don't, who the fuck's going to go on whatever Quibi is? It's just weird because like, they're getting all these names and putting all this money into these, I don't know. We should.
Because then they have their own weird shit, like on the, because then you have to like, download the Queebs.
Yeah, get them Queebs.
Get them Queebs and subscribe.
And subscribe.
I just don't
Queebs.
Know what the marketplace is gonna how that benefits the marketplace.
No,
just make
I think it
show.
Benefits the showrunners who are just like, yeah, fuck it, give me a couple $1 million, I'll make some bullshit for you.
Yeah. I have nothing else.
All right. Let's move on to Fargo season 4.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, this Chris looks Rock. Great. Oh, God.
This looks great. Yes. I haven't seen season 3 yet, but this looks amazing.
Ooh.
This trailer is a lot, man. This is the most trailer I think I may have ever seen. Like, when I sat down, at first I thought it was like a 1920s gangster film. And then, like, nope, it's the 50s and there's pigs now.
Yep.
And then it's like, nope, it's not Chicago or New York or something you were thinking. It's like Wisconsin or something, I think. And then it starts to feel like it's about, like, the start of cocaine, like, when cocaine happened or something.
Right.
Because, like, people are just doing a lot of cocaine, which I just assume it's, like, Boardwalk Empire type stuff. And then, fuck it, cue Timothy Oliphant. And,
hell yeah, cue Timothy Oliphant.
I am in.
I'm so fucking excited.
You know, I, if they ever made a Timothy Olyphant, Rachel Weisz movie, I think I might
that would
come.
You might just die.
I might die from coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, from
a lot
coming
of cum
too
talk.
Much. From
and then Jason Schwartzman in there.
Hell yeah, it is.
Do you think Chris Rock is acting chops?
I think Chris Rock can act when he wants to. I really liked his movies. Like Bad Company and Head of State, his Down to Earth remake. Mm-hmm. Is that what that was called?
It was called Down to Earth, yeah.
I think he made a lot of like fun comedies that didn't hurt nobody and that were pretty like morally nice, and he always did a decent job in it. You know, like he could have kept going in that direction, I think, and been like
that,
an Adam
always,
Sandler where
he
could have
a comedian.
Like yes, and in those movies he's always kind of himself. Mm-hmm. I think what it is that he's like what I this is what I like about the Fargo series is that they seem to take actors and be like, hey, you want to do something you don't get to do? And they're like, fuck yeah. And then we all want to watch it because we're like, oh shit, look at those actors doing something they don't get to do. You know,
like Bill Burr recently with like Breaking Bad and then The Mandalorian.
It's like what?
He did all right. I mean, apparently it's not that hard.
Right. And I think the Fargo show has been good at also... I think there's some debate on the seasons, but I've liked them all so far. I think the Fargo show is really good at using people in ways that you don't expect. And I have a feeling they're going to be able to figure out how to use Chris Rock in that way, too. You know, where they won't ask much of him as an actor, or they like, I think it's going to work because I have faith in the showrunners.
Yeah, it looks like he's a big role. It looks like he's a Steve Buscemi in Boardwalk Empire type. You know, like he's like running his gang.
Yeah.
Which means most scenes involve him when it deals with those arcs, which, you know.
And I think Chris...
He might have to carry the show.
Yeah, and I think he can. I think he can be, again, just looking at his past movies, it's not like... Again, he's always playing himself, but he has range in that box. Like he can play a sad version or angry version, you know.
Yeah,
and he's convincing. So I think you could use him.
I think he looks good in this trailer.
Yeah, I think he looks really good in this trailer.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. I definitely think it's a difference. Or I can't think of anything where he's been as like I'm just going to be a serious actor.
Right. I think if he had gone in that direction, I think he could have pulled it off in his career.
Yeah, maybe.
And I guess still could. Or he can do Grown Ups. I mean,
yeah,
whatever.
I can do Grown Ups 3 years of shit.
You do you, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm going to watch the shit out of this. There's no question.
It's got Timothy Olyphant in it.
Yeah, it
He's
does.
The best.
It's going to be fucking great. So excited. All right. Final trailer then, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. Doom Eternal. Had to stick this on.
Yeah, you did.
Does anybody have anything to say about this besides
Other
you're
going
to play the shit out of it?
I'm vibrating with excitement.
Yeah.
You think after all this time they'd stop opening portals to like,
no
Doom worlds,
no.
I like
now
going.
He's run out of demons to kill, so now he's going to murder heaven.
Right.
Yes.
It seems like there's a or you know how like in trailers because I don't know much about the Doom franchise. I played the first one. I may have played one along the lines. I definitely have seen the movies. There's a moment in the trailer where there's like a oh and here's like the oh shit part of the trailer, and it's definitely there's a sword in this game. Has there ever been a sword or is
no.
there always a sword?
No.
So that might be the coolest thing in the video game, but if it's like really OP, but if they fuck that up, I mean, I'm pretty sure if I had to kill a demon, I'd be switching to guns. I don't know. It's just a vibe I get. right. especially with like how much damage things do in Doom worlds.
Yeah.
But it did look like a lightsaber cutting through demons. That's pretty sweet. They know their audience.
And you know what Doom could use? A real fucking lightsaber.
That would be pretty dope.
That's what it looks like. It's like chopping them in three pieces.
Yeah. It looks amazing.
Yeah. They should just call this Doom the Sword one.
You know? Doom Sword one.
Doom 2 the Sword one.
This is Hell on Earth, right? That's the idea?
Yeah.
That's fucking great.
Doom Eternal. Really? Mm-hmm. That franchise is not good at names either.
It doesn't need to be.
Generic.
It's called Doom.
New Doom.
Yeah.
It should just been called like Doom 4, Doom 5, Doom 6.
Yeah, probably. But who gives a fuck?
It's getting like Xbox problems at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a whole different thing, but it's just like, learn how to name your system. Keep it simple, Stephen.
Yeah. It's I don't know.
Doom Eternal.
I'm fine with it.
If in 4 years, if you ask me when did Doom Eternal come out, I'll be like, could be 2000, could be 2025. I don't know.
Right. No, I know what you mean, because they all blend together. Because they're all names like shit like this.
Doom Annihilation.
You know, that was the movie, right?
That was the movie. Watched,
but
yeah.
still
yeah.
property. I don't know. I don't know what I'm seeing. I'm just like, the new Doom. That's all I care about. Just like, strap me in the chair, throw the Doom in my eyes. Doom, let's go.
Doom needs to do what it's done for games to movies. Like, they need to take a... I liked the last Doom, but the problem was obviously very low budget. We all watched it together.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They need to get George Miller on this shit, right? They need to Mad Max a Doom, because that's all Doom needs to be. It needs to be, they figured out for the games. They're like, you wake up in a room, here's a gun. All right.
That's all you need.
Yeah, that's
get
all you
better
need.
Better guns down the way.
Just do that as just make an action movie. Just make a John Wick, but it's Doom.
Yeah, that's absolutely
so good.
Right.
Yeah.
Just make the best parts of why we watch Doom. We don't...
Yeah.
The Doom with the Rock in it, the movie, what's that one called?
Doom.
Again?
It's called
that's
Doom.
Just Doom. Good. Doom. Just Doom. I like Doom. Where it's going. That has like Rosalind Pike in it. Rosalind Pike?
Sure does.
It's got a great cast.
And it's like got a great cast.
Carl
Urban.
And
like there are, I'm so glad like she's in the film. And there's so many people like The Rock and Carl Urban in the movie that I'm like, fuck yeah. But, like, I don't need any of that shit.
Yeah, the movie gets bogged down trying to explain to us what's happening and make us relate to the characters. And it's like, I don't even have to see the guy's face. This is a dread situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I just need him to, this is just an action vehicle. That's all it is. You don't have to think about it too hard. No one's going to blame you for not having a big plot.
Yeah,
correct.
Give me cool demon, cool looking demons, and let me smash their face with ease.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's Doom.
Pew pew.
It's Doom. Pew pew.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into news stories. We have the Oscar nominations came out, and we don't have to go through them all, but we could probably go through the best pictures.
Sure. Because
I was looking at it right now, and I'm actually kind of surprised by the inclusion of one I didn't realize, and I'm very happy. The best picture nominees are Ford versus Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite. I did not know Parasite was nominated.
You didn't? Oh, okay.
No?
Yeah, it was a big deal.
It's a big deal, yeah.
Yeah, first so Parasite film. Should win.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yes, it should.
Yeah.
There's a lot of... here's another
1917
thing.
Should win for a bunch of different awards.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Should win cinematography.
I think it's 100%. Got cinematography in the bag. It should win all the technical awards for sure. It should probably win director,
did you see it?
Too.
Did you see it, Abe?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucking... It's
great.
It's
I really
the
great.
Best... Because the best picture should be given... I mean, if you want to separate like best directing... And best movie, which is something that I don't think a lot of people understand really what's going on there. Because they just, they think of who did the best job as a director. And most people, I don't think, really know what a director does other than they're kind of the face and decision maker of the thing. The problem is that that's not true. I mean, it is to some extent and in most arenas of a film, but executive producers, writers, all these people are so integral into the creating the moments that you experience when you're watching the movie that best directing is sometimes doesn't mean, because that's invisible to us because we weren't there on the day seeing what the director did. So is it like, how do you compare this guy's using screen direction really well with like this guy can do action and there's also some like good scenes? That's just a good movie.
Right.
And so I don't, this is something that I think that they, because it's so new and it's like the first Korean director being nominated, for screen film being nominated for Oscars. I think it's going to be there and the Oscars doing what they normally do. I think it's not going to win. I think they're going to give it to 1917. And he's going to win best director because it's three steps forward, two steps back. That's always the situation with Oscars because they never want to hedge their bets and it's all politics and it's not really about the work. I mean, they make you want it to think it is, but
here's the thing about how Best Picture is determined. I don't know. You probably know this. It's a ranked choice system, which is how we should have elections. It doesn't quite work with the Oscars. What it is they list in order the movies they want to win. So they say, this is the best one. This is second best.
And
this
then
is the
highest numbers. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they keep eliminating the lower ones. So the thing that gets the most number one votes might not necessarily win Best Picture. It'll be the thing that gets the most okayest votes, the thing that everybody could agree on. So if something is like on a bunch of number ones, but then also a bunch of number two choices, that'll probably win. And then the fact that the Academy is so just white old people, and they're trying to fix that, but it is. So I always just think of it based on all that, and it's usually that means it's going to be the most upsetting winner. So my prediction is it's going to be Ford versus Ferrari because that'll piss everybody
because
off.
Because everyone will just be like, who gives a fuck?
Wait, what? Like,
Did you guys see
that? No, I don't think anybody did.
I saw it.
Is it good?
It's fine.
Yeah. Like, that's just
fine.
That's just the pattern, right? Like Green Book, where it's like people wait, what?
That's true. That's true. The most okay is. I was happy to see Jojo Rabbit on that, but I don't think that's got a shot. I think that would get like writing.
No. I don't think Joker actually has a chance. I think they did Joker because they want people to watch the Oscars.
Yeah.
Never mind. It is. I was going to say Jojo Rabbit's not nominated for writing, but it is for adapted screenplay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm guessing win. Abe, would you agree with me with this, which is that whenever you go back and look at old Oscars, the movie that like stood out the most, like the one that we remember, like the Pulp Fictions, those always get the adapted or original screenplay awards that year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm guessing that's what'll happen this time.
Yeah, it's funny how that happens too, because that's like, that is uniqueness of voice, usually what gets those votes. Is like, what a unique story, what a unique voice, you know? Then by doing that, you've essentially pointed out of this entire year, what one of these is going to actually be remembered? Well, the one that actually had a unique voice.
Yeah.
So that's why they're memorable. They're the best films, but often it does.
Right.
And it's usually more correct than the most okayest.
Yeah. I could see Parasite winning for getting that.
Yeah.
You're the movie that everybody's going to remember, but you won't win Best Picture, but we'll give you screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys think Tarantino's going to get anything?
No.
Like,
I hope not, actually.
I don't think
he's going to get anything.
I don't think he deserves anything, but I do see that pattern of like, oh, it's like nearing his last movie. Let's throw him best director, you know, kind of feeling.
I mean, he's had such a career that it's like, it's kind of like
lifetime
the Emmys
achievement.
Where they hand all the, or like Return of the King, give him all the awards because obviously the trilogy was like, right, completely change the game for all motion pictures. So we gotta, you know, suck a little dick there. Don't sleep on, well, I haven't seen Little Women, but I wouldn't sleep on Marriage Story. I think Marriage Story is one of those that is also the most okayest.
Yes.
I think that might do well on those votes.
Here's the other factor, and this is why I'm thinking don't underestimate Once Upon a Time in Hollywood or Marriage Story, is that one of the clear winners is always movies about the biz, where it's like, these guys are in the biz.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
La La Land and shit.
Yeah, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood might sneak up on people because it's just people like, I'm in movies. This is about being in movies. I love this movie. You know, like, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is just tapping into that boomer nostalgia.
Right.
Where it's like, remember all this? Remember? Right. So I can see,
guys,
I can see the Academy having a big, stupid hard-on for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I can't wait when Joker wins.
That,
like, just it'll just be absolute pandemonium.
That would be so funny.
Twitter would just, like, shut down.
Yeah.
It would just, like, become sentient and just be like, no.
That'd be so fucking funny. I mean, it's almost worth it. I do think Joaquin Phoenix has a good shot for Joker for leading in a role.
Yeah. How many does he have, though? Doesn't he have, like, 90? I don't assume. Like,
no, yeah. I don't think he has any.
Really? Really?
I don't think he's been nominated since Gladiator. I could be incredibly wrong. Yeah.
Really?
I don't know.
Well, then, you know, then
I'd love it.
No,
he'll definitely win.
Maybe,
I think.
Maybe for the Master. Maybe for the Master.
Hmm.
Yeah, I thought he. Yeah,
I don't know. I think it's gonna be Adam Driver.
That would be neat. He wasn't bad.
Yeah, sure.
It'd be great if they did the two popes. Just get
Fuck you, two popes.
What is our fascination with popes right now? We got like sex pope on TV.
We got the fuck pope.
Popes are real hot.
And then we got twin popes, pope to pope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
twin popes.
People were upset that Tom Hanks has actor in a supporting role, but I think that's like a weird technicality thing, right? Because I think A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Yeah, it's about a guy interviewing Tom Hanks. So.
Correct.
Any thoughts on The Irishman? We've sort of wrote it off, but it also.
I mean, it's a perfectly fine movie. I don't think it's going to win. I don't think it's going to win anything.
Yeah, I found it extremely boring. But you know, that's just this guy's taste in movies.
Maybe
less
some
of what people think.
I'm sorry. Joaquin got a nomination for Walk the Line and The Master.
Ah,
okay.
I could see Joe Pesci getting up there for a supporting role. I could see a little love for The Irishman just because of what it represents.
Right.
Like, it's kind of, this is the, I know people who loved The Irishman and were really excited, and I was kind of one of them. And I think it's because if you grew up, you know, with the Scorsese mob movies, it's sort of like huge because it's like, oh my God, it's these three together
it's
in a
like
Scorsese film. Yeah.
You know, it's like the bye-bye Cowboys, you know,
yeah,
kind of
exactly.
thing. This is the last, one last kind of get up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think there's an emotional weight to that movie that
we
could underestimate as well.
That's true. I really enjoyed Jojo Rabbit, personally.
I still haven't seen Jojo Rabbit.
I haven't either.
Kills me.
I haven't seen, I've also seen most of these, but I haven't seen Jojo Rabbit, Little Women, or Ford versus Ferrari, and I want to see at least two of those.
I have the screener of Little Women.
Oh, I'm so into Little Women. I'm psyched for that one. Jojo Rabbit looks great.
Ford versus Ferrari is exactly, and this is true for everyone listening, exactly the movie you expect it to be.
Yeah. I'll see it if it wins Best Picture. Which would be hilarious.
It's all about like making a love letter to cars and human ingenuity and spirit of America,
right?
And you know the Ford right. machine, corporation is all over it. It would be, it's like the most capitalist movie I think I've ever seen because it's just a big Ford ad.
How about the only other thing I want to bring up, because we don't want to linger on this too long, but ScarJo is nominated for two different categories.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I read about that, and I see it
now. I think we haven't addressed the fact that, like, say, Lupita Nyong'o isn't on this list.
Nope.
Or that the director, I should learn her name, of The Nightingale isn't on this. That there's
Jennifer Kent.
Thank you, Jennifer Kent. People of color, women have been ignored, and it's frustrating because there's that weird argument, and it's
argument. Taika's not on it. His movie's nominated, but he's not.
Yeah, it's that argument that it's like, well, there's just not enough people in the industry or whatever. But it's like, no, this year there's been some fucking killer performances. Like, I would have traded Lupita for fucking Scarlett Johansson on this. Like, it's a shame. I don't care that Scarlett Johansson's been nominated twice. I think people are using that as, like, an example of, like, why this but not this.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. She's fine.
I mean, it's not the first time it's happened. Like, Jamie Foxx, the year he won, he was nominated in two different categories.
Yeah. I hope Laura Dern wins supporting role.
That would be nice.
Animated feature film is a complete toss-up every time. Is there any pattern to those?
I don't think so. I think it's the most... They like to do the most... It's people who watch movies and animated kind of sneaked up in a lot of ways, like the auteurs did in, right, like, the 70s. And by that, I mean, like, that's why George Lucas and Spielberg became a thing, because they had a voice that the establishment didn't quite understand. But as, you know, times change, audiences form, and they spoke to a generation. Right. I think animated features have always not been taken as seriously as actual features, and the people who make those decisions are still kind of biased in that regard. If you look traditionally about what wins, it's usually the one that's most impressively animated. But I think that we're starting to shift into, oh shit, animated features are actually, like, can tell the most heartbreaking story, or tell the, give you the most joy while you're watching it. And so I think they might do something. I think Toy Story 4's kind of got it on lock, personally, because I think
probably, yeah,
it's also got that fact that it's, like, been so long. But I don't know if it's the best movie. I haven't actually seen Klaus, right, and I haven't seen Lost My Body. Missing Link was really meh, which sucks because I really like Laika. And they're, like, one of my favorite storytelling group.
Yeah, for sure.
But, like, I have a strong feeling that they usually either give it one or two things. The most original, right, thought-provoking, like Waltz with Bashir got it one year, I think. Or they just give it to, like, the WALL-Es or the Pixars, and that would be Toy Story 4 or How to Train Your Dragon, which, right, I didn't even know that How to Train Your Dragon even came out. It looked like a straight-to-DVD
Apparently
movement.
Those are good.
Those are,
know,
very successful.
Yeah. I have one final question before we can move on.
Okay.
If you had to bet your life on predicting one win, which one would it be? We'll start with Abe, we'll go to Tom, and we don't get to pick the same one.
Well, this is easy. Wait, on
I
this
know.
Specifically or like
on
Oscar?
This Oscar? On mean,
this
on any
Oscar, because I was like, then I'm going to give it. I'm going to give, like, sound design to, like, 1917 or something.
Okay.
If I had to pick... Oh, wait, you're... Wait, are you saying that, or are you saying
I'm
I have
saying,
to pick
yeah,
an animated
bet your life,
feature film?
Bet, no, no, not animated.
Oh,
any,
yeah, 1917
anything
sound design. I want okay. my life.
Okay, Tom?
Deacons for Cinematography.
Damn it, you took mine. I guess I'm going to have to then do, man, I'm going to risk my life a little bit, and I'm going to say that I think John Williams will probably get original score for Star Wars, because it's like, it feels
it's
like
ninth
it's
Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly. It's nearing the end. It's
sure.
I'm sure he's already gotten one. All right.
Well,
but
no,
I mean,
not,
we
not,
can all be
not,
wrong. They,
yeah, that's
and
true,
then
yeah.
we all die. Yeah.
And then we all die.
Avengers Endgame, maybe visual effects. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. It's remember, it's got Star Wars on that list, too.
Oh, yeah. So I wouldn't bet my life on that one. Yeah.
You know what? I change my vote. It's going to be, I'm gonna Love Me Again from Rocket Man, music original song.
All right. You and me.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
All right. Let's move on.
Yeah, sure.
CBS and Alex Kurtzman is making a Silence of the Lambs spinoff show. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? Called Clarice.
Nope. Don't give a shit.
I don't give a shit.
All right, let's move on then. I kind of give a shit, but it's Alex Kurtzman, so I don't give a shit.
That's why I don't give a shit.
It's CBS, and I mean, I know Alex Kurtzman's good. It's like CBS making a Silence of the Lambs show is like, I don't know, it's like putting mittens on a tiger or something like
that.
Yes,
if you read the headline backwards, you get progressively less excited, but you start very excited, where it's like, Silence of the Lambs spinoff show? Fuck yeah, Alex Kurtzman, oh no, CBS, all right, never mind.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
It's that gif of Grandpa Simpson walking into the bordello and seeing Bart and just circling around and picking his hat back up and leaving.
Yeah.
The final thing, which I actually think we should skip, there's a leaked Colin Trevorrow Star Wars script that I wanted to talk about.
I don't give a fuck!
Abe, you haven't seen the movie. I'm just going to say it's technically better.
Are you worried about spoilers or why are you avoiding talking about it? Because I have...
I don't want to spoil for anybody, but it's...
It's only technically better because it actually connects to things that were set up in the previous film. That's the only reason.
There was one thing that
because it actually honors the previous film.
So the link that you sent to me, I was... He said something that made me go, oh, shit, that's perfect. Because when he said that there was a part in that script, the Colin Trevorrow script, where they steal a Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
Is exactly the kind of thing that we should be supporting as Star Wars new properties.
Right.
Because it's epic and we know we want to get, and we've always known we wanted to get real heisty in Star Wars lore, because like that's like the peak charm of that series, is these kind of scofflaws, rapscallion, rebellious types sticking it to the like the polished like sterilized authority of the Empire.
Right.
It should have been fucking like Looney Tunes, and like Finn or Rose should like literally, or whatever the equivalent is in space, like flipping off another Star Destroyer in the rearview mirror. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's the fun of Star Wars. And the fact that, and I don't know what's in Rise of Skywalker, but I know what's not in A Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. And I'll tell you, like, it's not as fun. Everything's still falling victim to this, like, things need to have a darkness. Things need to be taken seriously. And I just think that is so bad and false. And like, it works for some stories, but the fact that we're making all stories that way is taking the fun out of adventure films.
Which is why The Mandalorian, you get Jon Favreau. Like, that's the thing. Star Wars, from the start, these new films should have been a little more Marvel-y, a little more tongue-in-cheek, a little more fun.
Yeah, just like...
a little sillier.
Pals palling around the universe, you know, like, give me a chase, give me, you know, like, that's why Han Solo is like one of the most regarded like characters of all time, is he's just fucking fun to watch.
Yeah,
you know, his character's fun.
I would have accepted movies that were planned out, but Colin Trevorrow, I think, would have directed it very badly, but there's some broad strokes in this script, like them going back to Coruscant and shit like that, where I was like, oh, that's a good idea. They should have done that.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have done a new The Planet Testicle with fucking, it doesn't matter.
Who gives a shit? I'm so exhausted of talking about Star Wars.
All right.
Who
we're done.
No
more Star Wars. Apparently.
We're done. No more Star Wars. Banned.
You know, $4 billion, and it's done. So
it's done.
No more.
Banned.
Never again.
All right, that's it for news stories, you guys.
Yeah.
Tom?
Dave.
Tom?
Dave.
Tom?
Tell me some good news.
I wanna tell you about a movie that I think deserves more hype.
Oh, shit.
I know. This is called Vivarium.
Mm-hmm.
It currently has a 86% on Rotten Tomatoes. It was in some festival and it got picked up for distribution. We don't know when it's coming out, but I suspect soon. It stars Jesse Eisenberg and Imogen Poots. Great fucking name.
Solid name.
Poots. What do I know Poots from? She's
The Fright Night remake and the Green Room.
Green Room. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The director, Lorcan Finnegan, also great name, has only done one other movie. This is about, there's a, not a trailer, but a clip online of this. Mm-hmm. It's about a couple who go to, they're looking for a home and they go to this real estate company and the guy is like kind of creepy. That's where the clip is the guy like kind of talking to
it's
him.
It's Jonathan Aris, who's unreal good, actually. He was in Sherlock, Night Manager, and Dracula, actually, as the captain of the sea vessel in the second episode. He always caught my eye, but in the clip that you showed to me, Dave, like...
Oh, I remember him in Sherlock now, too.
He is going to work in
he's fucking great. He's like putting in some dirty work here.
His robotic movements, like, he's actually nailed sliding in and out of, like, these programmed performance bits and, like, tiny micro movements in his eyes and his face where his, like, his eyes just go dead.
And the idea that he's a robot would make sense.
Yeah.
It's a good guess, because... Yeah. The idea is that he takes them into this suburb and everything looks the same. It's like the town of Celebration in Florida. It's every house is identical, every shrubbery, every mailbox, and it's as far as the eye can see, and they check out a house and they don't like it, and when they leave, the real estate guy is gone. His name is Martin, the real estate guy. And they get in their car and they try to just leave and they can't find their way out. And it's just a giant labyrinth of suburban homes that look all the same. They run out of gas and that's when they receive a box, or they find a box on the street. And in it has a bunch of food and like it says vacuum packed shrimp and lamb chops, like real like American-ish food. And they find a baby. And so they're a family now, and they're just stuck with this baby and this food in a giant labyrinth of houses.
That, I mean, it's obviously an analogy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's highly symbolic and metaphorical. Yeah. Sometimes those movies are really great, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes they're like, yeah, that's not too unique of a thought.
No, it's very deep 14-year-old idea.
Yeah, but if it's good, it's, you know, so it can be like, it can be good, or it can also be like in time.
Yes. You know? Well, in time is good for different reasons, but yeah. What's interesting, this director, his only other movie is called Without Name, and it's about a land surveyor who gets caught in an ancient forest and can't get out because of supernatural stuff. So it's like, oh, you're just doing the same. You just do the one movie.
I really hope that his third film was about a movie director who can't get out of his story
can't
structure.
Get out of his movie set. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still excited for this. It makes me want to see the previous film. And I don't know. I always like it when, like Jesse Eisenberg sneaks into, you know, like I'm realizing I like Jesse Eisenberg in indie roles.
I cannot take that.
And not
the thing that made him big, though, which is the Mark Zuckerberg talk fast.
No,
like fair. As if you're not in the room, as if he's pontificating to an off-screen highly intelligent person.
No one's going to blame you for not liking Jesse Eisenberg.
I hate it. I know it's tough. He's done some good work. Jesse, if you're listening to this, I don't mean you any ill will. It's just like it's such a thing, and I just
he
does it all the time, and I could see it. I hope he is smart enough not to put that kind of thing in this movie, even though that's what, like, how he keeps getting movies is by keep doing that, because that's his image and he has to kind of play to that. I understand, you know, you gotta make that paper, you gotta play the game, but that would ruin this type of movie if he kind of fell into that. And the co-star being Imogen Poots makes me think that it might be there, because they're both like indie darlings, and the reason that they're chosen is so that they kind of can play to their strengths, which is like kind of very seen. Now, I hope it's more of a broader decision to say, hey, millennials, this is suburbia, you know?
Yeah.
And so we're going to take two people who are kind of beloved on that circuit and identify with that circuit and represent it and then make a story point about it, as opposed to they're the best fit for the role. Kind of like using Tara Reid in The Big Lebowski. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, like, that's obviously, they play her as dumb, but it's like, Joel and Ethan Coen sat down and they're like, we need a Bunny Lebowski. Who should we get? We should get someone who, as far as we're aware, makes their money by being Bunny Lebowski in real life, you know?
Right.
Like a Zsa Gabor or something like that, or Anna Nicole Smith.
You're probably giving this movie too much credit. I don't know. The most, like, I'm looking at the reviews, and one of them feels like the most realistic, which is so overtly allegorical that there isn't much to discover. This enjoyable, offbeat Irish thriller is compulsively watchable. And like that,
okay,
that sounds about right. It's
yeah,
like,
I'm fine with
it's
that.
Watchable. Sure. Like, it's probably a really compelling, fun, sci-fi, weird film.
Well,
it's probably straight to streaming. It's probably not going to go.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. But I'm sure Jesse Eisenberg, he knows how to tone it down a little. I don't know.
Yeah.
He should save that shit for Now You See Me 3, where Daniel Craig Daniel Ratcliffe gets, like, lightsabers for eyes.
Yeah, they're just, yes, just bolted to his eye sockets. Yeah.
Here's the thing, is that we're going to get a trailer. We're going to start, like, it'll get on some streaming service for free, probably. And when that happens, we'll know within minutes what Jesse Eisenberg is doing. Mm-hmm. And if he goes entirely in the wrong direction, that is also an enjoyable movie to me, just because then you have Jesse Eisenberg doing his stupid, you know, talk fasting with a baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hilarious
to fucking me. Baby.
Like, what are you going to say to that baby Jesse Eisenberg?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
you're going to really dunk on him.
Yep. He's going to show that baby who's the smartest guy in the room.
With your fucking so wise. You're so wise. Fucking wise.
All right. I think that's a sewed.
That's a sewed.
My God. Abe, thank you so much for being on the show this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure with you guys. You always have engaging dialogue, and you allow me to... I get to come onto here and make jokes about Dave's cum. And it's because I don't want to do that on, like, my real thing, like my real job.
Right. Of course,
So I can outsource it to you guys, and it's good to have, like, kind of that that outlet.
You don't want to fuck up your money.
No, I'll just fuck with your money.
Exactly. Right. No, fine.
That checks out.
That's fine.
That checks
out. That's we expect that. What do you want to plug? I think people know, but...
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I got going on right now still is Small Beans, but we're getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and maybe we'll be Big Beans one day, and you'll be like, oh, looks like they did it.
Are you going to have a point where you're just Beans?
Yeah, I think so.
An intermediate point.
I don't think we're going to have any problems with trademarks or anything, copyright or anything like that, if we just start Beans. But yeah. We got a lot of video shows coming out. I'm really excited about Greg Burke, Michael Swaim, and I wrote a radio play, like a 22-minute thing. And I'm recording it. And we got a bunch of actors from the old place and a bunch of other people that we knew to do voice roles. And it's going to release on Small Beans Network, which is, you know, patreon.com/smallbeans. It's going to come out probably later in February. I'm very excited about it. It's very funny. I am obviously one of the writers, so I mean the parts that Greg and Michael wrote.
Sure. Your stuff is just
my
the worst.
Utter trash.
It's dog shit.
Utter trash.
The fucking worst.
But very excited. We're going to have some, you know, Katie Willerts, you know, some Maggie in there. We're going to have Cody in there. Michael, obviously. Greg, obviously. So it's going to be fun. And so that's what I'm working on right now. And it's going to come out later. And as always, you know, we have all the other podcasts as well. So
yeah, people should check out the Small Beautiful Things. I really enjoyed that as well.
Oh, thank you, man.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, I'm gonna do another. I think the next episode I'm gonna do is gonna be about fight scenes. So
cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I guess I'll plug our Patreon real quick. Patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jif Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. We have tiers like becoming a Hypecast producer. So check that out.
Yeah, and we also got a store at tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed. You can check out t-shirts, mugs, stickers, prints, whatever you want. Do that. We're always frequently adding new designs.
Yeah.
We're due for a new one.
Yeah. We are.
All right. Well, say goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can follow him on Twitter at the Corlew, C-O-R-L-E-W, and find more music at shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin T. Brown, and find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com and justinbrown.info.